Good morning. I'm going to start by saying, I'm sorry. but stuck with me today. I was kind of surprised that I was being up here. I don't want to say tricked, but I kind of feel tricked into being up here this morning. I was talking with Brother Brett on Friday at the VBS while everyone was out there playing on the water slides and everything, and he asked me, I really like you to, if you, you know, pray, there's a burden on your heart and that you'd like to share with the church, you know, a couple of Sundays from now. And I told him, yeah, we're going camping, and that's the perfect time. We'll be, you know, no distractions. I'll pray. I'll, you know, yeah. And then, you know, in my mind, I'm picturing, you know, a 5-6 minute, you know, share something, sit down. You know, and then when I texted him when I got back from camp, and yeah, I got something I'd like to share, and he said, "Great, get with Jason and let him know." And so I'm thinking, okay. And so then I found out I'm doing the message. All right, cool. So I had to take that 5 or 6 minutes and stretch it just a little bit. But so that's how I came to be up here. I just figured out the extent of what I got myself into on Thursday morning, Friday morning. Hopefully I don't run anybody off, and if you're a visitor, don't worry, I'm usually not up here, so you won't have to sit through this too many times. But that made me think, I'd just like to take you through my thought process as everything went through. Through my mind, and hopefully be a help to you, and it'll take some time, so. I first thought of, okay, well, you know, 1 Peter 3:15, right? That's where I'm going to start. 1 Peter 3:15, many of you probably have at least the idea of that memorized, if not the verse memorized. Also, I probably will bounce around a lot in this book, so if you want to follow me around, you'll get your finger exercises today, because I have long ago accepted the fact that I have no wisdom to offer you, so I pull out of this quite extensively. So I will be flipping all around. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Be always ready, right? So that's the first thing I thought of. You're doing the message. Okay, well, we're going to put that to the test right here, right? Am I always ready? Okay, and my thought process went, all right, cool, how? Always be ready? How do we make sure we're always ready? And then I jumped to my brain, which I cannot, there is no rhyme or reason to how my brain functions, so don't even try to figure that out, okay? I jump to 2 Timothy, so if you'll flip over to 2 Timothy with me. And chapter 2, I also, please, don't. I don't want to offend anybody, but I use humor a lot because it turns the hammer that I swing around to beat you up with, it turns that into a rubber mallet, so it, you know, softens the blow a little bit. So that's just, please don't confuse that for my not taking this word seriously, because I do. I take this word very seriously, and it is very meaningful to me. But I feel that the punches that must be thrown from this are softened a little bit with the humor a little bit in there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 15 is what I went to next. That always be ready. In 1 Peter, all right, cool. 2 Peter, I'm thinking, all right, cool. How do you make sure you're always ready? And I jump to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If you work in Awanas, you know that upside. You could probably say it backwards, all right? So that's how we make sure we're always ready. We study, right? In 2 Timothy 2, nothing. All right, cool. That's great. Study. Okay, so what do I study now? All right, so then I went back to Peter, went to 2 Peter this time. So I'm going to flip back the other way. I told you, I'm going to be all over the place. All right. Guys in Sunday school with me, you know I'm not joking. Second Peter, and then in chapter 3 and verse 18 tells us, all right, what are we going to study? Verse 18 of chapter 3 says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So that's where my knowledge is supposed to grow. That's what I need to be studying. The knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so okay. So now immediately thinking where we go, oh, that's the Gospels, right? Where Jesus is speaking. I can attain all of that from him there. But if you would, real quick, let's go all the way to the beginning. This is going to be an easy one to find. Genesis 1, if you would. Go with me to Genesis 1. And maybe I know there are many people in here much smarter than me, but the first place I could find him was in the third verse, the very third verse of the first book of the Bible. In Genesis 1, verse 3, we see, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Did you see him there? Jesus is right there in the third word, and God said. And it kind of show you my thought process on that as I was continuing to think here. If you go to John chapter 1 with me real quick in the New Testament, we'll find John chapter 1. If it gets to be flipping too much, then you just have to take my word for it and hope I'm not lying to you. But in John chapter 1, in the first verse, it says, in the beginning was the Word, right? We just read in chapter 1 of Genesis where it says, and God said, right? Well, that implies what? That words were spoken. God said. Well, right here we see in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then if you skip down to 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we know who that's referring to, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we see Jesus already right there, where God said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ, right there. So it begins from the third verse of the Bible right there. There's somebody in here smarter than me that can probably find him sooner. But that's right there at the beginning. Then if you flip all the way to the end, Revelations 22. Not the concordance, if you have a concordance. That's where I was. Revelations 22, and in the very closing, the second to the last verse, if you have a red letter Bible, you see words in red. That's Jesus speaking. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, in our prayers that he would come quickly. So the very first book, the third verse of the Bible, all the way through to the very last of the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ. Brother Al spoke to us on Wednesday of how you can, if you look and you know and you study, you can find Jesus on every page of this thing, Old Testament and New. And he's in there from the beginning all the way through to the end. So my thought process went through those lines. All right, 1 Peter, always be ready. All right, cool. 2 Timothy told me how to be ready. We got to study. Then I went to 2 Peter, study the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you find him? I don't know, open it up and pick a page. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. So all of that to say, the whole Bible, study that. Read through that thing. 2 Timothy 3:16, right? This whole book. If you go with me through there real quick. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3 and 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For learning, correction, instruction, teaching, that you may be ready. You may have what you need, thoroughly furnished. Have what you need to do the word that the Lord has for you. It's again in Romans 15 telling us the same thing, how this whole thing is, there's not a wasted word in here. It's not a wasted word. There's nothing that we can omit. This is what we should be studying. All right, now, I immediately knew that there's going to be a lot of, well, duh, right? We know that. Read the Bible, duh. How many times have you heard that? Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, right? How many times have you heard that? Okay, but we see there this entire thing, and we know that, but do you do it? Do you do it? All right? I know I'm supposed to go 65 right here. But do I do it every time? We know we're supposed to read this, but are we doing it? Does this thing only open, I found out many years ago, because at first I was under the impression that there was some kind of magical code on this thing, and it would only open on Sundays. But I found out that that is not the case. This will actually open anytime that you choose to open it. It works. So I say that to maybe put a little, put a little spur in your side. Do what you know you're supposed to be doing. Read the Bible, duh, yeah, we know that. Then do it. Make this a priority. This is one thing, I'm not a big planner. My wife will tell you that. I don't plan a whole lot, but you've got to plan this. This is one thing that you cannot forsake. If you don't plan a whole lot like me, and I don't, plan this. This is the one thing you need to make sure you have planned time to read, to pray, time with the Lord. Because if you don't plan it, it's too easy to not do it. So plan that, please, I urge you. And I know Brother Brett spoke on that, and there's good ways to get into reading. And if you don't have a plan, there's all kinds out there, and you can find them free and online, and there's Bible apps, and there's an app for that, right? That's the thing, there's an app for everything. You get an app for that. You can read through Genesis to Revelations a little bit. If you just want to say, hey, I don't know if I want to commit, let's just, read a book a month, maybe. You could get through a book a month. Just read something. Read. Find a spot. I don't know where to start. Well, you could start at the beginning. All right? Start there. Proverbs is great for instruction and daily living, right? And right living. Go through the New Testament. Read the words of the Lord. Right? Read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You could start there. All right? Or if you're like some of us in here, me, we're not, I'm not a big reader. It's hard for me to read. Start with something small, right? Jude, right? Read Jude, okay? Right? Just do it, and don't overcommit yourself, right? If you've not been reading and you have no plan at all, don't tell yourself you're gonna read Genesis today, because you're not, okay? All right, so don't do that to yourself, all right? Set yourself up with something you can succeed at and feel good about, so tomorrow you will do it again, right? And then the next day, and the next day, and as it becomes a habit, you can increase that. But we need to have a plan to read through that. And as you read, you will learn, and you will discover the things that he wants you to do, right? He will show you through his word and through your praying and everything. It's just funny how the Lord works that way, isn't it? If you have taken that challenge, you probably know as you read through this and you commit time to this, just everything seems to fall in place, right? I can speak personally for myself. I don't know how anybody else's daily walk goes, but as I spend time in this, I find the things that agitate me don't agitate me so much. I seem to have more patience. Things seem like they go better. Maybe they go the same and I just handle them better, right? But it affects my day. It affects my day. If you're still over there in the New Testament somewhere around 2 Timothy, just a little bit further on, if you go to 2 Peter, I'd like to read a verse in there. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, what does that imply to you? Half-hearted? Okay. All diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And what I wanted to focus on for the line of thought my disturbed mind was following was, you know, what am I doing to be ready? All how it all started, all this line of thought. I need to study. What do I need to study? All right, where do I find it? Okay, it's in here. And all diligence, work at it. It's not half-hearted, right? When I read, it's for information. I read very few things outside the Bible and books on how to do something that I'm trying to do. That's pretty much all I read. I don't read novels. I'm not a reader, I said. All right? And so I want to know where to go, what to do, and so I've read through this, but it takes diligence, and you need to read through that with a purpose and seeking, and diligently, not half-heartedly. Read through that, and we are expected to, where it says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to grow. We are to grow. God saves us. He wants you as you are, and now you move. Right? Saves you where you are, as you are, and then you need to get moving. He has given us that in this, and in other verses too, but right here he's telling us this, you need to be growing. We're not saved to sit in a recliner and kick back and just watch the world go by. Right? That's not what, God has a plan and a purpose for us, and he has a task that he wants to use us for. Now the Bible tells us he can raise the rocks up. He doesn't need me, but he desires to use me. And my life will go much smoother if I jump into that will and the way the Lord wants to use me. So I'm not, saved to just sit back. And so as we read through these, I'm just immediately reminded of, from this listen to K-Love or whatever, just that Matthew West song, Do Something. All right, I don't know if any of you have heard it. I saw all these people starving. I said, Lord, you need to do something. Lord, you need to do something. And he says, well, I did. I made you. Now get going. All right? Kind of the gist of the song. We're to be doing, we are one body, we hear described, I coach, so we see that team thing, we're one body, one team, all working together. I found a way to get the Spurs into it, right? You watch this, we all Spurs fans in here, right? You're all a big Spurs fan, you better be, okay, you better, anyway, I just loved watching them play, especially this year, that was the true team. If you watched any of their games, how they flung that ball around, and you'd see guys that have a good shot, but he'd pass it up because someone had a better shot. And you just saw on the court true unselfishness and everybody working together and just how it clicked. And you'd see some amazing passes, and they were just truly working together. And they had the same goal, and they practiced hard. They were diligent at what they did and how it paid off. And the unselfishness put along with that and that diligence. Because anybody that, if you're in basketball at all and Spurs at all and Pop at all, they work. And their diligence and how that paid off with them. We apply that to the purpose the Lord has for us. And we are all, as a church, should be working together towards one goal, moving. When you spend your time reading and studying and praying, you're strengthening your relationship with the Lord. And then once you have that strengthened, it affects your family. And that family is strengthened. And then that affects your extended family and your friends. And it spills over. And that strength. And then it affects this church. And that's strengthened. And then it affects this community that we're in. And then ultimately, we can affect the world. But it starts with, you need to get in here and strengthen that relationship, and read. I'm going to go now a little bit backwards to 1 Corinthians, if you care to go with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul speaking to the Corinthians along this lines. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able to bear it, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? We see here this falling down on this expectation. It says, I was with you when you were babes in Christ, and I fed you with milk because you couldn't handle meat. Right? And then now in the latter half of verse 2, it says, neither yet now are you able to handle the meat. You know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I don't know if anybody else in here grew up in the 80s and 90s. But you could sum this first three verses up in just a few words from, you know, the 80s and 90s. Like, dude, what have you been doing? Right? We see there this expectation to grow not met. All right? You were not able to handle the meat. I gave you the milk. And then yet now are you still not able? He tells them, for ye are yet carnal. There's no difference between the way you're acting and the way the world's acting. You got all this envying, strife, divisions. The church looks just like the bingo club or whatever, you know. There's no difference. What's going on? That one body was not moving. That team was not moving. We have this, you know, we are expected to mature, to grow, and move, and do. Mature, move, do. We have this analogy as, you know, in sports, again, with this chain and the weakest link, and you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? So you can have this weakest link needs to be strengthened so our body can be strengthened, right? But I got news for you also. That chain is no stronger than the strongest link. So if you're the strongest link, you can still be holding us back as a body if you're not growing. We can't be stronger than you, right? So if you are a strong link, and there are many strong links in here, you're not off the hook, right? We need to be growing and moving and strengthening, because if you're a strong link, that chain is no stronger than you. So we need to be strengthening that. And eventually, through the course of time, links will need to be replaced. That's what happens with the chain you use. They wear out. Things set in. We've had many. I've been been blessed to be a member of this church for around 10 years or so now. And am excited that the Lord has placed me here and excited to see what he will still do here and the things that he have done. And I've heard and witnessed a few of strong links gone on to be with the Lord. And I rejoice for them. And we were talking about it in Sunday school this morning, that what a blessing it was they were to our lives. But as they go on to be with the Lord while we are here, those links have got to be replaced. And if you're not reading and you're not studying and you're not moving in that direction, where are those links going to come from? So we need to be ready so that when that link passes, we have a link to put in, and our chain doesn't get shorter or weaker as the strong links pass. We need to be able to keep that chain, keep this body, keep our work here strong and moving for the Lord. So now let's go to HEB. Oh, wait, no, sorry. That's my notes, sorry. It says that's Hebrews, my bad. Sorry about that. Sorry, you know, I just thought I hit you with the hammer. I'm going to soften the blow a little bit there. So Hebrews chapter 5, if you'd care to go with me. I have no idea what time it is, so don't get mad at me. I don't have a watch. There's no clock up there, so don't anybody tell me because I want to ruin it. I want to be able to use that excuse, so I didn't know. I didn't know. Hebrews chapter 5 goes along the same lines, starting in verse 12. Of chapter 5. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Teach you again. Applying that, is this new teaching? No, because we're always learning something new, right? We're to always be learning, always. But this is implying to me that they are having to relearn. Didn't get it. And I can put myself in there. There are a bunch of things that I don't get the first time. I'm pretty thick-headed. Right? Yeah, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So we see there again this not living up to that expectation, right? I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be the weak link. I don't want to be the link that was needed and wasn't ready, and the chain fails. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be me. And hoping and wanting ain't going to do anything. And we just read through, and I went through in my thought process of how to make that happen, right? Study. What do I study? Get in this. Pick somewhere to start. Find a plan. They have, I like the chronological, right? You read through chronologically what happened, right? You start off in Genesis, then you jump to Job. And that's what I pick something. Get in here. When your link is needed, be ready. When should I be ready? Well, go back to 1 Peter. Always. Always. No, you don't know how many breaths you got, right? We have strong links, but we don't know how much longer we have those strong links. We need other links ready to go. So that you're able to, we need to step up and take that challenge. And for that challenge, we find in Matthew chapter 28, if you want to go with me to Matthew 28, many of you probably know this one by heart as well. In Matthew chapter 28, the very end of Matthew, starting in verse 18 is where I'm going to start. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's the Great Commission, right? That's go, right? And then immediately, and that's the challenge that we need to be ready, and the links we need to have ready to put in that chain. And immediately we think, well, go, you know, Uganda and Nigeria and China, and well, I can't go. I'm getting a little old, but I'll support and I give money. That's great. I've got kids, and you know, I don't. Or I'm in school right now, and I get, you know, and there's always these right? But I'll support, and that's great. But don't miss out. Where are you right now? I've got, the first thing I thought, half of my wife's family works at CPS. So I'm thinking any minute, any day they're going to change it to Schaefer Davis Electrical Company or something. But anyways, they're at CPS. Well, I know they have some CPSers here. I'm a teacher. We have teachers here, coaches here. You work at Saws. You know, where are you? Who put you there? Right? Just because you're not going to Uganda, don't think that you can't go. Where are you right now? Where I'm teaching in Judson Middle School. Why am I there? Why am I a math teacher? No. To me, that's my secondary purpose. And honestly, the only reason I even teach math is because that's what they pay me to do. And I would feel dishonest if I didn't. But that's my second objective. The Lord has me there. He put me there. My primary purpose there is to serve Him. So don't think that because you can't go to Africa or China, that you can't go. All right. Don't miss out on that. So those are the things that kind of went through my mind as I was, it all began with, you got to be ready, because I was thrown into it. And then all of this, you know, and I took a few hours to get it written down, because I bounce around a lot, and that happens in here also. And I, all this stuff went through my mind in about 5 minutes. And then I thought, now I got to find some way to get that to make sense to somebody else, right? So all that went through my head in like 5 minutes, and we praised. I kind of flipped through that. I found the addresses. I'm pretty good at knowing what's in this book. I've read through it, but I am not as good as I should be at knowing the address. So I still have to look at those and find out where those are. But then usually, you know, you give me the first 3 or 4 words, and I do fairly well. But I need to improve at that. So if there's anybody in here not good at that, be encouraged that you're probably better than me. Okay. So then I thought, as I went through there, I also looked at a lot of these verses that I got, where 2 Peter, 1 Peter, Timothy, right there towards the end. And I started thinking about, okay, well, what was going on? I love history. Throw that out there. Disclaimer. And what was going on at that time? There was some pretty heavy persecution going on. There was Nero, and he didn't really, you know, if you know anything about history, he didn't really care much for the church. That's, you know, putting it kind of mild. Now, it hadn't, at this time that he was writing this, it wasn't necessarily the law that we were going to condemn all Christians and burn, but they were burning Christians, they were stoning Christians. And so the people in the other areas, if they had a problem with Christians, they thought, well, you know, it's all right, I can. So there was some pretty good and persecution going on. And he's still there in the face of that saying, you need to be ready, you need to study. What do I study? This is what we study. In the middle of them being stoned for this, and they didn't waver. So then as I thought through that, I think, okay, well, I'm going to tell them to read, and they're going to say, duh, and I'm going to have to say, okay, and explain on that a little bit. And then another thing that we know we should do that I believe we are a little bit lax on is praying. We pray when we eat, right? Maybe on Wednesday nights you pray, because we're here with the church and the church prays. Sunday mornings we pray because somebody comes up here and prays, so we pray. Maybe if you're about to do something big, you pray. But do you just get up and do you pray? When you're on your way to work, do you pray? When you're about to do something small, do you pray? A lot of times we have this picture of this great big God, and he is. But we only take him the great big stuff because he's a great big God, and so I'm going to take him the great big stuff, right? And that's great. But he's also a personal God and wants that personal relationship, and he wants you to trust him with the little bitty stuff also to you that is little bitty stuff, right? Right? Bring that to him, everything. And I started thinking about that, so more than just, you know, dinner. And no, don't stop praying for dinner. You know, I'm not saying any of that. Well, Christ told us you don't need to be praying for dinner. No, add to that, right? Take all the little stuff, right? All the little stuff. You know, get me to work safely. Help me to be a shining light while I'm there, right? Remember we just talked about, where are you? Who put you there? Why are you there? Pray that he helps you to be that light while you're there, right? If you're as thick-headed as me, or even half as thick-headed as me, pray that he makes it obvious what you're supposed to do, because I miss a bunch of stuff because I'm not real observant. I don't know if that's a guy thing or if it's just me, right? But I miss a bunch of stuff, and that's one of the things I have to keep praying is, Lord, please make it obvious because I will miss it, all right? To pray. And then so I started thinking about praying. And then I went to 1 Thessalonians, if you want to follow me there. Most of you are going to know this one. It's a short one. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Who knows it? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. 3 words, right? Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Don't stop. But that's come on, realistically, right? Realistically, I got to make dinner. I got to, I have to do my job. Like me, I have to teach math. I have to do all this stuff. So what this tells me is pray without ceasing. The Lord, the little things, not just the great big things. He's a great big God, but he's a personal God. He wants the little things, everything. As I have my life, that's what I know. So please try to fit that in your life and see where that applies. But I teach. So as I'm up there and I'm getting ready, I pray, Lord, if there's an opportunity for me to show you through this math problem, let me do it. And then I do the math problem. And then, Lord, as I'm walking through there, and if somebody's not getting it, if there's something that I can do to show them you, help me do it. When I'm, if anybody else is a teacher, you'll know this one. If I'm blessed to have time during the day to actually put grades in, right? I'm gonna sing and praise. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I have time to do this here, and I don't have to take it home, right? Thank you, Lord. And you're right. So, there's all kinds of things going on in your day, and you can be honest with yourself. How many of you sing songs in your head or out loud as you're doing things, right? That can be a way that you're praying and worshiping the Lord right there. What are you singing? Huh? What are you singing? Are you honoring him? Are you singing the last country song you heard on the radio on the way to work? That happens to me. But that's something we can do. Pray without ceasing. Instead of singing that song, put these songs in your that we were singing this morning. These are great. Right? Put those in your heart. Put those in your mind. If anybody buys CDs anymore for the younger ones, right? On iTunes, right? Download it. But get Christian. Find something that you like. Right? They have all kinds. Like I said, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And I'm going to be honest, the Christian music was not very good. It was not very good. It just wasn't. I'm sorry. It just wasn't. But we're blessed now. There's some really good Christian music. There is. So find one that you like. Put that in your mind and in your heart and memorize that. And when you sing, sing that. Right? And there you can be a way that you're worshiping and praying without ceasing while you're doing what you need to do. Right? Then I went all the way to the old book, right? It's still relevant, right? We found that out, by the way. I know I don't have to tell anybody here that. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, I cheated. I had mine bookmarked, so I'm already there. It's like I knew I was going to go there or something. 1 Samuel chapter 12 in verse 23, along the lines of prayer, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Okay, another very strong encouragement to not cease to pray, right? And here we see the context of this Samuel praying. Then let's go to Psalms. I'm bouncing around again. It's my ADD going. Or whatever they call it nowadays. Got all kinds of letters I can't keep up with. Psalms 55 and 17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and noon, all day, right? Pretty much covers it. The entire day will I pray. There it is, that pray without ceasing. Philippians, all the way back into the other side. If you just found the one in Psalms, I'm sorry. I warned you. I'm going to flip around. I warned you. Oh, that's not right. In Philippians chapter 4. If I told you Philippians chapter 5, how long would it take you to find it? Take a while, right? It's not there. Okay. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything by prayer. Everything. Not just the great big stuff that we talked about, right? Little bitty thing. Everything. Everything you can think of, no matter how small or insignificant you think it is, God cares about it. God cares about your life. He desires that personal relationship with you. Just like on earth, your earthly friends, they care about what's going on in your life. They care if they're a true friend, right? How much more does the Lord care? The little things, everything. And Luke tells us, in every circumstance, if you go to Luke chapter 18, if you're not real good at knowing where your books are, you're probably thinking, yes, I know where that one is. Luke 18, in the very first verse, Luke 18 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." Always to pray. Always and not faint. In every situation, and that don't faint. Don't be discouraged. How many of you have prayed and opened your eyes and there it was? God usually doesn't work that way, right? Now, he could. He's powerful enough to do that. But does he usually work that way? No. Right? So don't faint. Don't be discouraged. Be patient. Keep bringing. Don't pray and then don't see something happen. And that, well, that didn't work, so I'm not doing that no more. Right? No, that's exactly what this is saying, right? Don't faint. Don't be discouraged. Pray in all situations, always. And don't be discouraged because you didn't get an answer now. Right? God works all things in his time. In his time. He's got a plan and a purpose, and his plan is way better than mine, and I'm sorry to tell you, it's way better than yours. Right? And we need to go with that. It's way better. All right? So be patient. And also, be willing to accept the no's. Right? A lot of times, you think, well, God didn't answer. Well, he did. You just, not the answer you wanted. Right? Then back in Ephesians chapter 6. This is, again, we have on the lines of prayer, Paul asking for prayer, where we ought to pray for those in leadership, spiritual leadership, and what we are also directed to pray for those that lead this country and this nation. And one of the things we should pray for, Ephesians 6 and 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel." So, well, we should be praying this for Brother Brett. Right? That the Lord would, we are so blessed that we have a preacher that lays it out there. Whether we like it or not, it's the truth and it's the word, and he puts it out there. And we ought to be praying that the Lord continues to renew in him and continues to give him that and bless him for that. And why prayer is so important, if you go back to 1 Peter again, why couldn't he just stay in Peter? Why couldn't he at least just stay somewhere? My mom used to always say, "Why can't you just stay still?" So here we go. I'm still not staying still. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Why this is so important. 1 Peter 3:12. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Right? That's why this prayer is so important. His ears, he hears you. If you're one of his, he hears you. And then where have we read it before? It says, "You have not because you ask not." Right? Now, I don't want to, that's a different, you know, message, but you know, if I ask for a Ferrari, I ain't going to get that. Right? I could try it and see if it works. Right? But he hears you. He hears you. He listens. And James, and it has an effect. If you look in James, just a little bit further, the other way. James chapter 5 And starting in verse 15, James 5, 15, we were just in 1 Peter, it should just be a few pages before it. For, James 5 and 15 says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven." Confess your faults to one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer affects things. He hears you. It affects things. There's another reason to pray. So if you're like my demented mind, you know, the thought process I took you through, we need to read, we need to study. If that's a hard thing for you to do, pray. Start there. Prayer, he hears you. Prayer affects things. Lord, give me the wherewithal, give me the time, give me the desire to read through your word. If you're one of his, I find it hard to believe that that's not a prayer he won't honor. So, in all of these things, I guess what I'm trying to get you to do is to make a commitment. Commit yourself to becoming, as Brother Brett put it a few months ago, today be better than you were yesterday, and tomorrow increase again. Right? Find a method, a time, a place, a way to study, read through this, dig into it, pray. He hears you. It affects things. Read, study, be ready. When your link is needed in the chain, be ready. You don't know when that day's coming. Could be today for me, right? Be ready. I know I've spoken to all, everything here is under the preposition that you're one of his. If you're not one of his, you've got a different starting point. You've got to get there first. You've got to become one. And I guess the good news for this is, it is, as far as what I'm laying out here, I put a challenge and asked for a commitment and for those to step up that are believers and that are here. But if you're not a believer, if you don't have the Lord in your heart and haven't asked him to, you know, accepted that gift of forgiveness and pardon for you and let him pay that price, because you can't do it anyway. If you haven't allowed that, the good news is all you have to do is come to him and ask. Christ said, the reason Christ came was not, if you're saved already, he came for you and you've got that. And then he came and he told them, if you're not saved right now, I'm sorry, but you're not heading to a very good place. It's the truth, you're not. This life is the best thing you will ever know without the Lord Jesus Christ. This life right now, this is the best you'll ever know. But Christ told them that, you know, what have the well need of a physician, right? I came for the sick, right? He came for you. You don't have to get cleaned up and then come to him. You don't have, there's nothing else you have to do before. If you don't have that relationship with him right now, you can change that right now. You don't have to say, but you don't know what I said this morning. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but you don't know what I did on the drive up. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't have to go and take, you don't have to get, you can just come to him. He tells us in Romans 5 and 8 that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. Believe that? He says that in that while we were yet sinners, he died for you. He didn't say that for, you know, you go and get cleaned up and then come back to me and we'll talk. Right? No, while we were yet sinners, he died for you. And then in 1 John tells us that God is love. He sent his son to save us, to pay our debt, that price that I spoke of, that you can't pay it. You can't get yourself out of hell. They don't have a shovel big enough. You can't do that. He alone can do that for you. And so hopefully, if you're not saved, you're hearing that. I was in the summer between my 7th and 8th grade year, and I was at a church camp, and I don't know, I could paint you the picture of what it exactly looked like. I can't tell you what the guy was saying, because all I was hearing was this thumping of my heart. I don't know if any of you have been there before, where the only thing you can hear is doom, doom, doom in this, the Lord speaking to me and letting me know that I wasn't heading to where I wanted to. So hopefully, if that's you, and you hear that, and you've heard that, you don't know what I said, and you've heard that, doom, 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 and man, something ain't right, I'm going to tell you right now, that's what it is. That's what's not right, and you need to get that straight, and I pray that you get that straight before you get out that door. The rest of you that have that straight, get going, right? Let's get going. And I'll do my best to keep up. Y'all get going, and I'll try to keep up with you. All right? And that's all I have to say about that. So, I thank you very much for your kind attention. Like I said, if you're a visitor, you don't have to put up with me next week, so just take heart in that. And hopefully I was able to give you something that would benefit you and help you as you go out this week and live for the Lord. Would you pray with me? I thank you, Lord, so much for once again giving us this opportunity to gather together here, Lord, and this place that you've given us and the time that you've given us, and that despite how bad we think things are getting in our country, we are still in the best top 5% of the world in the freedoms and the luxuries that we have, Lord. And I thank you so much for where you've placed us, Lord. Help us to get busy for you, Lord. Help us to work for you, Lord. Help us to study and read, and help us to be ready when our link is needed. Help us to be ready, Lord. Help us to be prayed up and read up so that we will have it ready to go, Lord. I pray that you would be with these people as we be with us all as we go our separate ways today, Lord, and that you would help us to go with you, and that we would not just put this to the side and think of it next Sunday again, but that as we go out into the world, into our job, or if we're on vacation or wherever we're at, that we would take this with us, and that we would find ways to strengthen our relationship with you, and then let that affect our life. Lord, please let that spill over into my family, Lord, and then please allow that to spill over into our extended family, into our church, and into our community, Lord, and help us to be busy about the things of you, Lord. Help me to find a way this next week to do something for you. I thank you, Lord, again, for all you've done. Thank you for sending your son to die and to save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Need the every hour in joy.
Thank you again for your time and your attention. This week, as you go, find something that, read and pray. Read and pray every day. Didn't mean to sound like Dr. Seuss, but read your word. Read his word every day. Read something. Like I said, if you got to start small, Jude, read it. It's a page, right? Even on, you know, even in big print, it's a page, right? Read something and pray. Prayer affects things and he hears you. He hears you. Also, if you're not saved and you don't have that relationship with the Lord and you have any questions, there's others much more knowledgeable than me, but I am happy to talk to you about it. Happy to talk to you about it. Thank you.
We have any... Yes, ma'am.